I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. A study of entrepreneurs has found tall poppy syndrome is alive and well in Indigenous communities in Australia and Canada. Researchers in Australia and Canada are tracking the paths of entrepreneurs, including the way they are viewed and treated in their communities. Dr. Rochelle Cote from the Memorial University of Newfoundland says not everyone is happy to see others succeed.
By thinking that Indigenous people have to be a certain way in order to be Indigenous, and that if they're not, they have to be brought down to size so that everybody is the same, which means, you know, poor and all of these other ideas that are really grounded in this idea of deficit thinking.
A prominent Yolngu leader, staunch civil rights activist, and revered spiritual leader. Those are just some of the words that have been used to describe Reverend Dr. Gondra, who passed away earlier this week. He was a lawman of his Dirili clan, and he was Australia's first ever Aboriginal Methodist minister. He is survived by his eldest sister Rose, his children and grandchildren.
He's always been a battler and a person who is for his people. He's done so much for his people for the last 40, 50 years to gain justice and freedom in Australia, in this country.
That was his eldest daughter speaking to the ABC. Yolngu man and independent MP for Mulka, Yingya Gwula, was very close to Dr. Gondra and made an official public announcement of his passing in Parliament last night. He described him as one of the most dignified and uncompromising Indigenous elders of our time. Dr. Gondra was the chairman of the Arnhem Land Progress Aboriginal Corporation for 30 years, an organisation he helped shape from humble beginnings to become one of the largest and most diverse Aboriginal corporations in Australia. ALPA CEO Alistair King says he was widely respected and people sought him for his counsel because he understood both worlds so well. He is an immeasurable loss to us all. A remote housing deal for the Northern Territory has been signed off by Territory and Federal Ministers. The $4 billion 10-year remote housing partnership is aimed at halving the overcrowding in Aboriginal communities by building up to 2,700 new homes. While the deal has been welcomed by those waiting for a new house, not all believe the pledge can be delivered on. Dan Kelly is a lawyer representing tenants from remote Northern Territory homes who have spent years fighting the government to provide adequate living conditions.
These commitments, of course, are welcome, but big announcements are made and then a few years later we find out that only half the money has been spent. I don't know what the problem is with these programs, but they're not hitting the ground and they're not getting results. So until they do, I think remote tenants are entitled to challenge the government on their failure to meet their basic obligations.
Renowned actor Donald Sutherland has passed away. His son and actor Kiefer Sutherland announced on X yesterday, "With a heavy heart, I tell you that my father, Donald Sutherland, has passed away." Starting out in the early 60s, the Canadian actor went on to grace our screens for a more than 60-year career, including films like Dirty Dozen and Hunger Games. We'll have more coming up next.
Hey, you mob, it's Naomi Moran, proud Bundjalung woman and CEO of The Koori Mail, our 100% Aboriginal owned and operated newspaper. Since 1991, we've been a respected source of news and information for our people. Whether it's an important community event or a focus on issues that matter, we've got you covered. So subscribe today by visiting koorimail.com. The Koori Mail is proudly the voice of Indigenous Australia.
Program sponsor.
The National Indigenous Radio Service, the voices of our people.
To sport, and Geelong star Patrick Dangerfield won't be held back on his return from injury, with coach Chris Scott declaring the shackles are off for his captain in the AFL blockbuster against Carlton. Dangerfield is back for tonight's clash with the Blues at the MCG, 8 weeks after hurting his troublesome hamstring for the second time this season. Zach Tui and Ollie Henry are also on the return as the Cats seek to reignite a stuttering premiership bid, which has stalled after 5 defeats in their past 6 games. But it's Dangerfield's comeback that could be the biggest impact against the high-flying Carlton, who are chasing a 4th straight win. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Not sure who to turn to for legal advice?
Want someone who knows what you and your mob need?
And need to find someone you can trust? Call Murrawa Law.
They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector.
They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more.
Visit murrawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 13088. Choose a law firm that understands you.
Murrawa Law. Station sponsor.
Little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev. Going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbibrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Archbishop Jeremy Greaves, who echoes urgent call for 1.5 degree climate threshold after visiting Torres Strait Islands. We got him on the line. Archbishop, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. Good morning to you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based? Where are you situated?
So I'm based in Brisbane. Was elected Archbishop of Brisbane in December, but part of my role covers the whole of Queensland as well.
Well, congratulations on your new appointment. Look, you just visited the Torres Straits the last couple of weeks. So you got an urgent call for 1.5 degree climate threshold, yes?
Yeah, that's right. I spent a week up in the Torres Strait a couple of weeks ago with Auntie Rose Elu. She was keen for me to come and have a look for myself at what's happening up in the Torres Strait. Mm. And so really saw just how urgent things are.
Okay, and what capacity would you think needs to be done up there, Archbishop?
Looking at particularly some of the low-lying islands, we visited Porama and Masig in particular, and see the damage that's being done by both extreme weather events, but also the rising sea levels.
Yes.
And both the work that's being done in terms of seawalls and some of that work, but the real challenge, I think, more broadly of limiting global warming, so preventing sea level rise more generally.
Yeah, as I always say, Archbishop, they're looking for life on planet Mars, but we need to be looking after this planet first, don't we?
Oh, look, absolutely, and certainly for Christians, you know, care for creation is a really important part of what we're called to do, and so often it gets bumped off down the bottom of the list. But
yeah, sure.
If we don't care for this planet, we've got nothing else.
Exactly. So, look, it is a team effort. Government needs to do their bit, but we at the grassroots level, local level as well, we need to do a bit. And when we're talking about making fire and rubbish and plastic on land and in sea, all that sort of stuff, we need to do our bit as well, don't we?
That's right. I think, you know, everyone can do something, but we also need to raise our voices and lobby government to do more, because government are the ones who can do the heavy lifting in terms of changing policies and changing investment to make a real difference. And while, you know, you and I can do what we can in terms of reducing consumption, I think it's really important that we lobby governments and the big polluters to try and change things at that level as well.
So travelling around the States, a big footprint, so to speak, you must enjoy that journey and touch and base with all Queenslanders, yeah?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, it's terrific because, you know, wherever I go, whether it's, you know, small communities in the Torres Strait or in bigger communities down south, you know, people are working really hard to build community and do the right thing for the people where they are. Mm. And so despite the real challenges, you know, it's always encouraging. And, you know, one of the great things Porama and Masig, where we went, was that, you know, there are people really committed in those places to making a difference, just as there are in communities all over the place.
Exactly. Fantastic. Well, look, thank you for yarning, and thank you for putting echoing the urgent call. We are here, a national program, goes across the country, of course, and government do listen to our yarn. So, Archbishop, thank you very much for your input. You stay warm, and we will yarn soon, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I look forward to being in Cairns a bit later in the year where, yeah, absolutely, it's warmer than it is here in Brisbane.
Lovely. You take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
There is a beautiful yarn there, Archbishop Jeremy Greaves, and after just visiting Torres Strait the last couple of weeks there, yeah, he says an urgent call for 1.5-degree climate threshold after visiting the Torres Straits and seeing what needs to be done, and the climate change, global climate, it is real. And if we're not careful, our islands, the sea rising, our islands are in trouble, in desperate need of support. So we need to do our bit there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team, too deadly. Thank you for your support. National Talk Black.
Came a stranger's hand, was a wild Kentucky man. I said, Governor, why don't you just leave me alone? Didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by wild Kentucky man. Talking, and man, I nearly died of fright.
purpose came a stranger's hands, a wild kudachi mane.
And you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Wakawa Punga. got the story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my land. Story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my land. Born again. I've got the story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my land. Story to tell about my people. Story to tell about my
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bama Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Oh, now, how every resident in the remote community of Mullinger has reduced their power bill by 70%. Like to know that secret? We're going to talk to Lauren Miller, Regional Power Clean Energy Communities Coordinator, on the line. Lauren, good morning, Lauren. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So where are you based?
I'm based in a little community called Mataranka, just south of Darwin in the Northern Territory, and okay, about 3 hours north of Marlinjob.
All right, fantastic. So you're Regional Power Clean Energy Communities Coordinator. How long have you been in that role?
I've been with Original Power for about 4 years now, developing clean energy projects in partnership with communities around the Northern Territory.
Good. You enjoying that journey?
It's been fantastic. Yeah, it's been a long and windy road. There's no clear path for community energy projects to connect in the Northern Territory, so it's been a lot of collaborative and creative problem solving along the way. But, you know, obviously the end result where people can enjoy sustainable, lower cost energy is fantastic. And, yeah, wouldn't think of a better way to spend my time.
Fantastic, exactly. And you're talking about lower cost. We're talking about their power bill by 70% being cut. That is fantastic. So tell us about the Power Clean Energy and how it's working in communities, sister.
Yeah, well, like some communities in North Queensland, across the Northern Territory, we actually have a mandated prepaid meter system where First Nations communities, about 10,000 households, access electricity through a prepaid meter where people need to pay for credit up front, and when that credit expires, the household disconnects from power.
Yeah.
And for the last 15, 20 odd years in the Northern Territory, that's caused really significant economic and social disruption across across the community.
Yes.
You know, you can imagine losing power for an average of 8 hours every three days in the Northern Territory, which is what the current research reveals.
Well, it's the 21st century, and that's a necessity, isn't it, Lauren?
That's right. You can't really have the functions of a healthy home without access to affordable, reliable power. And so that hasn't been a reality for most First Nations communities in the Territory since that metering arrangement was introduced.
And this is the 21st century. This shouldn't be happening.
No, that's right, yeah. I mean, energy security should be a top priority if we're talking about well-being and economic development in regional and remote areas.
Yeah.
It can't be done without the fundamentals of access to power. So, you know, that was something that Original Power was very keen to really find a solution to, because all of the self-determining objectives of communities are undermined when people don't have reliable power in their home.
So we're talking about building solar farms, aren't we?
Sorry?
So we're talking about building solar farms, aren't we?
Look, there are a whole range of energy solutions in the mix. So we work on everything from off-grid homelands through to policy reform and program development, through to the integration of rooftop solar with prepaid meters, which was the first challenge we had to overcome, was actually working out how these smart meters could work in combination with rooftop solar and have that input like 3.5 million other Australians currently benefit from. So those were the first priorities, for overcoming those policy and technical and commercial barriers that were preventing MOB from benefiting from renewable energy.
Yes.
And so that's the focus of Original Power's work. But we are engaged in everything from off-grid homeland solutions through to utility-scale solar microgrid development. Like in Borroloola, we've got a 2.5 megawatt solar farm under development there with some majority community ownership, which will distribute benefits back to the local community. So,
a one-stop shop, Lauren, you could say.
Say that again, Troy.
Sorry, I was saying a one-stop shop. You've actually got everything on the table there. And this is like the way of the future. Does it create work opportunities, job opportunities for First Nation people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are jobs for the future. You know, the next couple of decades in Australia will undergo a huge transition in our energy sector. And so the construction of new transmission lines and new forms of renewable energy generation, these are all, you know, high-quality jobs that First Nations people can be engaged in. And so around all of our projects, they build around opportunities for training and ongoing employment, with the priority being those local communities where the projects are hosted. In saying that, I mean, we are only a small organisation. We're an Indigenous not-for-profit.
Okay.
I wish we were a lot larger and were able to do this at scale, but for now, our work really focuses on those structural barriers and overcoming them so that we can share that knowledge with other First Nations communities and organisations, PBCs, land councils, industry, government, and see those solutions replicated, scaled up, and even improved upon.
Well, exactly. Well, there's a song, "Little From Little Things, Big Things Grow." So, look, beginning's half done, and look, fantastic. Vision there for big and better things. But, look, if you save a mob out there, 70% off their power bill, look, that is fantastic. It is working, and so, look, continue with it. And, look, thank you for your yarn, Lauren, and a big shout-out to your team. And you've got First Nation people employed as well in the with your organisation?
Yeah, we're a majority First Nations organisation, and we work in partnership with those local communities there, so the benefits stay local, and that's the way we've always worked. So, yeah, thanks very much for having us on the program, Trip.
Yeah, no, fantastic, my sister. Well, you take care, keep smiling, and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Sounds good, okay.
Bye, Lauren. A deadly yarn there. Lauren Mallow, her name is, Original Power Clean Energy Communities Coordinator. And we're talking about helping remote communities reduce their power bill by 70%. And Malinja is one of the communities that they work with, Northern Territory. And look, a fantastic opportunity. This is the 21st century. Changing with the times and be proactive in adapting to the change. But understand, change is the engine of growth. Your mob, too deadly. Have you saying yarn up strong, too deadly. National Talk Black.
As long as you Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
So sad, my dear, why are you looking so blue? Are you thinking of someone so far away in that beautiful place called Tiai? Oh, Tiai.
I wanna get black, black. So come on, all you people. Yeah, black reality. And come on, all you Muppets. Yeah, black reality. Come on, come on, come on. Cause I said black. Oh, yeah, I said black. Black to reality.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Speaking of deadly, we're talking $7 million life-changing job creation program for First Nations Queenslanders. And look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with the Honourable Lance McCallum, MP, Minister for Employment and Small Business, Minister for Training and Schools Development, and Minister for Youth Justice. And we do have the Honourable Lance McCallum on the line. Lance, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm really well. Good morning to you and your wonderful listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. They say money's not everything, but we rank it right up there with oxygen. Look, fantastic. $7 million at the table in regarding, look, life-changing job creation program for First Nation Queenslanders. So please enlighten us, please. The money at the table, where is it going, what's happening with it, please?
Well, this $7 million is part of our Pathways for First Nations People's Plan, which is an investment in good jobs and an investment in skills for the future. And we got a new round of grants out of that $7 million worth $2.8 million that is now open and designed for projects that support and help respond to the local training needs and the local workforce needs. There can't be a one-size-fits-all approach to workforce and skills development, and we want to work with communities to find out exactly what works for them. And we've got some really great partnerships that are underway at the moment with the Cape York Institute, with the Lockhart River Council, and Kasimeta up on TI. Because, Trevor, Labor is proud to back communities, and we're proud to partner with community organisations that are helping locals get the skills that they need to get into work, as well as the life skills that they need to live a happy, enjoyable and productive life. I know from personal experience that how transformative the dignity of work can be. And to get a good job, you need the right skills.
Exactly. And when we talk about money at the table, this comes across all industries, no matter what you're talking about, and opportunity for people to diverse or look at their pathway to whatever industry they want to get into. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's right. So we're looking to partner with organisations that are making a real difference on the ground. And I've got to give a massive shout out to Debbie's sister, Cynthia Louie, the member for Cook. She's been such a strong advocate for her communities and making this program a reality. And I was up on TI only a couple of weeks ago with Cynthia and speaking with some of the program participants working who were with Kasimeta, and they're learning how to get their driver's license and a few other skills. So to really see the rubber hitting the road, pun intended.
Exactly. Well, we're talking about a good foundation. You know, you cannot build an empire on sand. You need strong foundation. We talk about necessities, the fundamentals of you know, a license, for example, but also curriculum, education, writing and reading as well. You know, fundamentals, yes?
Absolutely. You know, the Miles Labor government, we're committed to closing the gap on life outcomes, whether it is healthcare, whether it is education, and whether it's employment, because so many things stem from having the right skills and being able to get into a job. If you got a job, you're able to provide for yourself and your loved ones and your family, as well as yourself.
Well, if you've got no license or you've got no education, it sort of it locks a person in into sitting on the fence, so to speak. But it gives them activities, gives them confidence, and go a mile, see a mile. It then creates, if not a job, then career pathways.
Well, exactly. Things like being able to drive and get a license not only opens up many different types of jobs, it can be really hard to get a job without a license these days, but it also is a way to gain independence and a way to be able to rely on yourself and your skills. So that's why these programs are so important, and that's why as a government we are so passionate about working in partnership with community and community organisations.
Yeah, fantastic. And you mentioned the fantastic word of investment. It's not an expense, this is investment. And the old phrase, high tide rises all ships, and we need to get it together, don't we?
Well, we absolutely do, and we are a government that is committed to walking in partnership with First Nations communities. I'm incredibly proud to be one of three First Nations MPs in the Queensland Parliament at the moment, along with Cynthia Louie and Leanne Enoch. I'm a proud Gubbi Gubbi man.
Okay,
and
my brother. Didn't know that, my brother. Beautiful. Yes, represent.
Thank you. Whether it's Parliament, which is, that's an institution that has not traditionally been a place for First Nations people or women or other kinds of people from a culturally diverse background. So being able to be part of a government, all three of us First Nations MPs are a part of the Miles Labor government, and we're out there working hard to work and in partnership with communities to make a positive change in people's lives.
Well, I'm doing my bit at the local level, Honourable Lance, as the first elected First Nation person as a councillor with the Cairns Regional Council. And look, I'm excited to be in this role. 5 weeks, still got my training wheels on, but a big thank you to the Queensland Government regarding their funds of $195 million for our water security system that we need up here in Cairns. So thank you for your support there in that space. And like I said, I'm doing my bit here in the local level, and great to be talking with you, Honourable Lance McCullum.
Oh, Trevor, it's just, I'm so thrilled for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have the utmost confidence that you're going to make a hugely positive contribution, and more importantly, your community believes that as well, which is why they backed you and gave you the responsibility and the honour to be in a leadership position.
Thank you, my friend. And listen, all the best to you. You stay warm, because we're here in far north Queensland, cold down that way, but all the best to you, and we'll be talking soon, hey?
Thank you, Trevor. It's been an absolute pleasure. And go Queensland.
Go Queensland, yes. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's the Honourable Lance McCullum, our MP. And look, fantastic. $7 million life-changing job creation program for First Nation Queenslanders. So, look, great opportunity for our mob to get educated, get skilled up, and get a JOB, and if not career pathway, if not start their own business. So it's not an expense, it's investment. $7 million. Fantastic. And better than poking the eye with a burnt stick. It's your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. BBM Bumbo Brit Media, 98.7. FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly.
Where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Me you call a Kungai from Yoruba, where my people reside. All us Aboriginal people are divided into 500 different tribes, whom the white man tried to conquer when he first. This land belongs to us.
hey, hey,
where you from, my brother? I come from there. I'm not a Saiyan. Hey, me you call him Kungai. From Yoruba, where my people reside. Than a place to hunt and roam, reserved for the past and present, 'cause it's our Aboriginal spiritual home. But you may call it divide and conquer, hey, but no more. You've lived a lie. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there, from another side. Hey, me you call a Pungai, from Yoruba, where my people reside. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother?
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.